Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's Monday, March 23rd. As spring is in the air and the snow is melting. It may be up north there. This is your host, Vince Bonfigli, with Kristen Lee. Did you get any snow over the weekend, Kristen?
Friday night we got, depending on where you were, it was anywhere between 4 to 8 inches here.
Wow, I know my old peeps in my old neck of the woods. Last I heard they had 4, so I don't know if they got any more than that, but down in the Philly area, I'm sure they all get the same, but
kind
of have to worry about it.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I mean, it melted pretty quickly because it had been, you know, a little warmer for the days before leading up to it, but it was like that heavy, wet snowfall, so it did a number on the roads and stuff, but hopefully that is the end of it.
Yep. Sometimes you get a stray one in April, but hopefully everybody's done with that this time of year. Well, NASCAR ended their West Coast swing. The NHRA had the weekend off. They return in action this coming weekend in Charlotte for what they call the 4-Wide Nationals. That's where they get 4 cars going down the track instead of 2. Our friends from last week from the Monster Jam, Cynthia Gauthier, got invited out to Vegas. She was hoping for that. Remember when she was on the show?
She was extremely hoping for that. And it was the very next day after we talked to her that she got her invitation for the Young Guns competition, which is for, you know, the newcomers to the monster truck world. And so, I mean, good for her. That's fantastic. That's what she wanted. She got it. And I keep following all her posts online on her social media about her her trek to Vegas, and she's just loving it.
Well, it's, after that burnout, thanks for posting that. I was able to get getting that clear so we can get that up on the GTL page. I wonder if she won that thing over Gravedigger. She smoked him.
Boy, did she ever smoke him. And like she said, which I didn't even know, which I thought was a very interesting part of our conversation, that they actually shut her truck down. She was digging down so far underneath the dirt onto the wood that covers the ice for, you know, when the hockey teams play. So that was an interesting fact.
I can imagine it. I mean, how deep you were there? How deep were those ruts, for crying out loud?
Oh my goodness! Well, you know, yeah. I mean, they were deep, and you know, it was more of like a mud than a dirt. And because when we were down on the track with the meet and greet, I mean, I had like boots on and I was sinking into the mud, and I mean, I thought it was great, but I think it was, I mean, it was pretty sick. So I mean, that burnout she did to be able to get down that far, you know, it was a good one.
That's for sure. You didn't wear them cute boots you had, did you?
I had on little short cowboy boots on.
I bet they're fun to clean after all that.
Yeah. They were older ones, so that's kind of why I wore them. So I knew we were going to be walking in dirt. I just didn't know it was going to be like mud dirt. But it's all good.
Well, that's cool. I forgot to ask you, when she was out there doing the burnout, was Gravedigger on with her, or did he go after her?
He went after her. So they, what happened was they brought her out, and she did hers, and then the other drivers have the opportunity to challenge her. So they don't even have to, like, if they think hers was like just crazy good, they don't even have to challenge her. But he decided to challenge her, and I mean, you could see from the video, he was no challenge to that burnout.
That was no contest. I was just watching that to my wife and thinking, man, that is a pretty good burnout. I'm trying to figure out how they shut her truck off. Was its radio control to shut off it? I wouldn't want to climb on without the top of that trying to turn the key.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. That would be a good question next time we get one of them on with us to say, like, how does that happen? How do they actually shut it off from behind the scenes? Because I didn't know that.
I mean, we wouldn't know unless she told us, and she told us they had shut her down. But I was watching that burnout. It took some brave soul to do that, or they just electronically cut it out, which is kind of weird. It's surprising
yeah.
that that's only 1,500 horsepower that you can do all that with. I thought it was
yeah.
more.
Yeah, I was a little taken back by that, too. But definitely 1,500, that still has some kick in it. And you can see it from her burnout.
That's pretty good. So the NASCAR race is trying to talk about something else because that was kind of boring. For a while there, it looked like first it was going to be Harvick, then it was going to be Hamlin. First it was going to be Hamlin, then it was going to be Harvick, and then Kurt Busch had the lead, and he was getting ready to take the win. And lo and behold, the first caution to set it up for the first green-white checker came out, and they all came in the pit. Some stayed out. It was Biffle, Gordon, and Tony Stewart stayed out. And when they dropped the green, it was Harvick, Kurt Busch, and a few others took two tires. Keselowski took four.
Mm-hmm.
So when they came around, they had a lot of ground to make up. Harvick and Busch and got around Stewart and Biffle, and they were able to break away from the pack. And then as they were coming around to take the white, somebody wrecked in the back. It was the back end of Kyle Larson's car. He got crunched and peeled the whole back end off. The bumper cover and that. So that brought out the caution, and then that reset it for the second green-white checker. And by that time, I think Keselowski had made it through enough people to where he was starting pretty much right behind the leaders. And then and Kurt Busch, needless to say, were on the front row. Busch was able to get out ahead of Harvick, and Keselowski was able to break through and come in third, but he was coming too. Now, when it came around for the white flag, by that time, Keselowski had gotten around Harvick, and he was up on the draft on Kurt's back end there. And once the white flag came out, Keselowski made the move around them, and Kurt didn't have the tires to get him, and they wrecked again, but they already taken the white, so Keselowski was able to take the win. So that puts him in the chase with Logano, so Team Penske's in. Kurt hit the wall, scrubbing, coming to the line, which allowed Harvick to get around him for second. So that makes 8 straight races where Harvick has finished no lower than second going back to last year. And Kurt Busch is knocking on the door. He almost made me look like a prophet yesterday, but Keselowski ruined it for me.
So what it came down to with Keselowski was just basically Paul Wolf's call on the four tires. Is that kind of what I'm... Unfortunately, I didn't get to see the race because I went to a hockey game instead, because hockey, NASCAR, they're both my love. But I went to a hockey game, so I didn't get to see the race. But Paul Wolf had, you know, he told Brad coming in, everyone's taking two, let's take four. Basically, trust me on this, and strategy gave them the win.
Yeah, but if they didn't have that yellow for the second green-white checker, I think it would have been all she wrote.
Right.
Because Kurt was able to lead the field back to the yellow. I mean, Keselowski had made it through about 5 or 6 cars to get into third place. And then when they restarted again, Kurt was able to pull far enough ahead of Harvick, and then Keselowski, just with the fresher tires, was able to get around Harvick. And as soon as they came across the stripe for the white, that was they were heading into one when Keselowski made the move around Kurt Busch, and he couldn't be caught after that. It was sad for Kurt. It was great for Brad. And Harvick keeps his streak alive and no further than second. There would have been Kurt would have won. That would have put him in the chase, even though he was out. But he still gets the win. And Harvick, he's in for Logano and Jimmy Johnson. So right now you have two Fords and two Chevys, but the Fords are on the same team. So I guess Roger Penske's kind of happy with that one, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. That was going to be my point. I think he's a pretty happy camper right now, sitting, you know, what are we, four races in and sitting in the chase with both his cars. I mean, how can you beat that right now?
You can't. I mean, you figure now they could, the pressure is really off of them to make the chase, so they could tinker and just shoot for wins and run up the board there. But, you know, you figure how some guys are like, right now, if they don't have a win, they can just rely on their points. And what gets me is, like, the NASCAR has got their point sheet up for the top 16. They don't even have Keselowski. They have Harvick and Logano. Harvick's got the two wins. He was looking for the whole sweep of the West Coast. And Logano's second. But Jimmy Johnson, who has a win, isn't third. He's all the way down in seventh. And Keselowski, who just won, they have him listed according to points-wise. And he's in fifth. So I think that's what I don't get. They should just move the guys that are in all the way to the top according to as many wins as they got and then put them in order of points to see, you know, Logano has more points than Keselowski and Johnson, so it would be, I would rate it as Harvick up at the top, Logano, Keselowski, and then Johnson, and then the rest of the people with no wins behind them according to their points, but that's not how they have it.
Now, so far, Vince, is any of this surprising you, the way things are playing out with the cars and the drivers? We're very, you know, prematurely into the season, but did you kind of see it this way with those being the strongest drivers so far?
You know, after last season, watching how well Keselowski and Logano ran, usually qualifying up there either on the front row or just off it. That they didn't surprise me. Harvick, the defending champ, I was more worried about that follow-up year letdown, but that might be one of the biggest surprises, the fact that he's been able to carry it over from last year into this year. And I'm surprised right now that Gordon, who had three wrecks in the first three races, is where he's at. I figured the way he was running, as far as qualifying goes, he had a shot to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, he's there. Dale Jr., he's hovering near the top. He's running good. He needs that win. So whether he can get it or finish high enough in the points, if he doesn't get the win to make the chase, that's remains to be seen. I think the thing that surprised me with him is he's running pretty good with a new crew chief, and usually that takes a little getting used to. But other than that, who else is up there? I'm surprised. Carl Edwards right now, he's got a whole new team to learn. And you got your guys that are in there that made it last year that are in the top 16 that probably might fade, like Aldendinger, Amarola. Kenseth, I'm surprised. It took him a while. He didn't even get a win last year, but he was playing it close to the vest yesterday, trying to strategize to get his win. But it didn't work for him either because he had an axle break. He might have been able to play it out. Denny Hamlin, who ran good, led, 56 laps. Tire got away from the crew on pit road, so he was penalized. That kind of took him out of the race. But as far as the top 16 goes, right now the front runners are quite as, not quite what I expected. But I don't know about you. The same thing, did you expect this, or did you, you think something different was going to happen?
No, I mean, I totally expected this. I know Johnson already won a race, but I expected a little stronger showing from him right off the bat this season. I kind of knew Logano was going to come out strong. He ended the year on such a high note last year, and he, every race last year, it just seemed to me like he got stronger and better and just could drive, he was phenomenal, let's just put it that way. So I was kind of expecting that. Nothing's really too much of a surprise to me yet. Someone who I think I've been kind of – I like him a lot. I think he's a good driver, and I'm just surprised that his performance lately hasn't really been even last year into this year. And that's Clint Bowyer. What do you think about Clint, Vince?
It might be the car. I don't know if he had any team changes this year, but he's a consistent driver, and I don't know if Michael Waltrip Racing has the is good enough equipment to get him in. I mean, yesterday, Vickers had to pull out of the race because of health problems again, which is sad. And without the testing, I think they can't get the cars dialed in because it's not really a four-car team like Hendrick and Gibbs and Roush and Ganassi and all those. So, but I think he's a better driver than what he's in, so I'm just surprised that they're not doing better.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. So he's surprising me in terms of opposite of what I would expect of him the last, this season so far and last season. You're right, though. I mean, he is a consistent driver. When I'm not watching the race, I have the NASCAR app on my phone. So at one point, it alerted me that that Truex was leading the race. Did he have a pretty good day yesterday and then just something fall apart at the end, or what happened with him?
He was pretty consistent, actually. As a matter of fact, he wound up with an eighth place finish. Not bad for that team, considering, I thought when Kurt Busch drove for them, they probably had the guy who could do the best with what he had for that team, but Truex has stepped in and did pretty well for him. So you can't count him out. But see, to me, Martin Truex was, and you can, if you want to give us a call, disagree with me, 646-649-1899. But I think Martin Truex has been a bit of a letdown. Since his Nationwide Series, he won two championships in a row. He went to DEI back when they were still good. He did get when he moved to the Cup Series, he had one win at Dover, and that was on a rainout. That was which kind of stunk because I was down there, and they ran it on a Monday, and I had to be back Monday at the station to edit my audio and do the show. So I didn't get to stay down there and watch the race. Catherine Bell was the grand marshal. I don't know if you remember her from Army Wives. And that weekend they were debuting that show, so she was a grand marshal. I had a picture taken with her.
Cool.
And he won the rained out race, and then he won a road course, 2 years ago? I think, when he was still driving the Napa car.
Yep.
So, but other than that, he really hasn't shown much to me as far as a top-tiered competitor like Logano, Keselowski, Harvick, Newman, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, you know, those guys are like the top tier. Stewart's having, I think he's still battling back from what happened last year and his injury from the year before. And maybe he's concentrating more on team ownership and takes his concentration away from driving. I don't know. But it's still early in the year, Kristen, and you know what happens. We got how many more races till the chase? Let's see, we got 21 more races till the chase starts. So anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I would like to see Stewart have a good year. I would. I'd like to see him, you know, win a couple of races. Just win one race, for God's sake, you know. I would like to see him have a – I think he's just had a string of bad luck, or call it whatever you want, but it's just not been on his side in terms of his Sprint Cup races.
Now, he was he's a second half of the year performer. He usually gets up towards the – well, you know, once Daytona rolls around – in July, then he comes on strong, and that's when he usually takes it by storm. When he won his last championship, it was him and Edwards, and then when they got to the chase, Stewart had more wins and won on a tiebreaker, so they had the same amount of points at the end of the season, and he won like five races in the chase to pretty much seal the deal. And that's before they redid the chase. So it's going to be kind of interesting now with this new chase format of how many can get in with and make a go of it.
Right. How about the rookies? Who are the rookies this year to watch, in your opinion?
Who are the rookies? That's a good question. I got to look for the guys with the asterisks next to their names. See, I haven't seen a rookie in the top team yet. Austin Dillon's a second-year guy. Brett Moffitt, he's considered a rookie. If he's going to be in the car for Vickers the rest of the year, I don't know. So,
yeah. They said
Jeb
Vickers
Burton.
Is out for, what, 2 months?
Yeah, and now Jeb Burton is the only other rookie in the field.
Kyle
Larson was a rookie last year, so there really isn't a top-notch rookie this year.
Huh.
Surprising. The only thing, there's no really top-notch rookie at all. It's going to be between, looked like it was going to be Jeb Burton until they called up Moffitt, so, and depending on how that goes, see if they got a rookie. I don't see anything as far as rookies go, because they got their own. Here we go. Rookie of the year. They got four listed. Only two were in the race yesterday. Jeb Burton, who's Jeff Ward Burton's son. He's got 44 points. He's a rookie of the year points, so it's different from the other points. Brett Moffitt, he's got 11. Alex Kennedy, and he's got 10. And then Tanner Berryhill. And I don't even think I've seen him in a race, maybe one race. Alex Kennedy is related to the Francis. I think it's his mom is Brian Francis' sister. And it was her husband that got killed in a plane crash last year. Or he died last year somehow.
Okay.
But that's it for the rookies.
Interesting.
You only got one guy making a race with his Jeb Burton's driving the 26 car, and Moffitt's driving the 55. Being the other guys aren't in it, I can't tell which cars they fill in for. Unless they have one of these starting parkers, but that's about it. I haven't seen too many starting parks the past couple of years. Come to think of it. Have you?
Not, you know, I haven't actually, now that you say that. You see a lot, but, you know.
I mean, yesterday every car finished the race. 32 cars on the lead lap. That's a little unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
Seven cautions for 31 laps. That should have told that tell you right there what kind of race it was. And most of the cautions were at the end. You had the last one was at lap 200 as they were coming down right before the end of the race. They hadn't taken the whites. I don't know how they call it lap 200. And then lap 204 figures a 200 lap race for 400 miles. Makes it kind of easy to do the math on that one. Thank God. When they get these races and the tracks are just a little over like Bristol's 0.533. So they tend to run a little over as far as they run 500 laps, but mile wise, it's a little more than 250 miles. But wow, even Danica was on the lead lap. She was 19th. She had a top 20 finish.
How about that? I was just going to bring her up because I read something. She had another little confrontation with yet another driver. Did you see that?
I caught wind of it. I can't remember. It was during practice. I'm trying to think of who it was. Was it Alex Bowman?
You know, I don't remember, but I read it, and I don't know. People pick on her because she's a girl. Does she take things to an extreme? I just don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. Or was it after the race last week? I think it was after last week's race.
I think it was after last week's race, actually. And she confronted him in the garage, and they exchanged some words.
Wonder where Ricky was.
I think he steers clear of getting in the middle of anything that deals with her. I'll tell you the truth.
Well, that's his woman. I would stand up for my woman.
Yeah, I mean, I think he hasn't been anywhere to be found with all these other issues that she's had with people, with the other drivers.
Could you imagine that in the motor coach after the race? You be Danica, I'll be Ricky. You just get into a huff, so you come storming into the motor coach where I'm at, and then question me. Ready? Go ahead.
Ricky, where were you to defend me? You weren't there to defend me. You're never there to defend me.
What happened? What do you mean? What did I do? What didn't I do? Am I in the doghouse again?
Oh, Lord. I don't know. I don't know why he's never anywhere to be found.
I mean, are they holding him back? I mean, he's probably as tall as she is, and she's going after one of these guys that are about on. But that's one thing, most of the drivers aren't really all that tall.
No, the tallest one I ever encountered in the pits or in the garage area was Michael Waltrip.
Yep, exactly. And he stands about 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
But everybody else is, if they're 6 foot at best, that's pretty tall. I think Junior might be 5'11". He might kiss 6 foot. Edwards maybe. But everybody else is I'm 5'10". They're shorter than I am. I don't know. Yeah, well, that'd be kind of... must play hell on the relationship between them two.
Yeah, can't even imagine.
He hasn't helped her driving none. And he's... that's who he had to beat for Rookie of the Year, too.
Yeah, imagine that conversation.
Haha, I won Rookie of the Year. What happened to you?
How was this was this past race was this Kurt's second race back suspension?
Yeah.
And he ends up capturing the pole for it.
Yep, and he finished third. He could have won. Should have finished second, but he scuffed the wall. He must have had it wide open. And he went up high, scuffed the wall, allowed Harvick to catch him by... Harvick caught him on, you know, across the line right in front of him by a nose. And then last week he was in the top 10. I think he finished fifth. That's why I picked him for this week. I figured he's out for vengeance, or, you know, he's out to prove something and almost points for leading the most laps. But the one he needed to lead, he didn't. And there's, you know, there's one thing to get nipped at the line for the checker flag, but to take the white flag in the lead and then watch the guy behind you go past you and there's no way you can catch him, so you got to take a whole lap around the track. And I was waiting for, and then I think they were coming off a four. The back end of the pack, there was a bit of a kerfuffle. So everybody was wondering if they were going to throw the yellow or just let them race it on out, and they let them race it on out. So I guess whatever happened cleared off towards the end, but or actually limped across the line. But as a matter of fact, who was in that last one? Debris, but they didn't say from where. I was wondering. Like, I know the one for debris when that set up for the green white checker, you can actually see the chunk fly off the car.
Yeah.
He really didn't miss anything. If you would have caught the highlights or on the late news or something, you would have saw all the excitement right there.
Yeah, I was following along on my app, and you know, I was in the PPL Center in Allentown watching the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, which is the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, farm league team. And it's not that great of reception in there. So I was getting all these text messages from my friends before my app was updating me and, you know, telling me that Brad won and, you know, because Lasky got the win. And I was like, you know, it figures. The only race I don't watch so far this year.
Do you have DVR?
I do have DVR, and you know, I know, I should have said it, I didn't.
Then you could have texted me, and I would have said, you record it, fast forward to the last 20 laps, everything else of that, don't waste your time. Watch that and watch the post-race interviews, and you'd have got the gist of everything.
Right.
But 19 lead changes amongst 9 drivers. To them laps, and them lead changes were on pit stops. That ought to tell you something.
Yeah. So it wasn't too bad. I missed my driver winning, but I didn't miss much more.
Nope, that's about the size of it. Then the other race, the Xfinity, I'm trying to get used to that, calling that there. I just got done getting used to calling it Nationwide from calling it Bush, and now it's Xfinity.
Exactly.
So that one, won that one, and he led 100 of the 150 laps. So what's that tell you? I knew this race.
What?
I know this knew this track was going to be a snoozer, and it didn't let me down. Matter of fact,
and it was sold out.
The race yesterday, I had some stuff to do around the house. I had the race on. I caught the green, went out and did some chores outside, and then I had 3/4 of the race to go. So I went and did something else, and I had half a race to go. I said, all right, I'll sit and watch the last half of the race. I said, okay, get everything I need. No, that's just it. It's the fact that, and you're going to see the same thing in Michigan. Those two tracks, I know Roger Penske, when he had them built, they used to be his. They were designed for Indy racing. This way they can get those cars 4 and 5 wide to scream down, you know, scream down there going 230 mile an hour.
Right.
Because they, but when, you know, they, NASCAR gets on there and they have the, these little green flag laps, and you figure anybody with a decent pit crew is going to make the guy some time on the track with a quick stop. They're just going to stretch it out. I mean, what was the even the margin of victory in the Cup race yesterday was 0.71 seconds. So, is that 7 car lengths right there? Figure it's a car length per tenth. So, Keselowski got 4 bonus points out of the deal. The only one he missed was leading the most laps. That went to
he didn't lead a lap all day, did he? Except for
nope, he led one time for one lap, and it was actually a whole lap, the last one, the important one.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. If you really want to do it, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, at least it brought a little excitement to the race.
Yeah, I mean, because if they didn't have that second green-white checker attempt, it was going to be Kurt Busch would have won it at the end of the first round. But because everybody gambled whether to stay out or take 2 for the first green-white checker, those that took 4 weren't worried about track position, hoping they could make up ground and get a good finishing spot. But when it came down to a second green light checker, he was in the catbird seat there. So,
mm-hmm.
It was a gamble that actually paid off for them, and good for them. So now you know how we have both Penske cars in the chase, so they could tinker now for the rest of the year.
Well, that's good news. Where are we off to this week? Where's the race this week? Hopefully it's somewhere exciting.
It should be Martinsville.
All right.
2 hours from here.
Good track. And you're not going?
You know, I'm still getting situated here. Once I get my day job schedule figured out, I'm going to start putting in for credentials up there.
Yeah.
And then there's Bristol, which is actually closer, but you have to do stuff electronic with them. And sometimes if they don't recognize your outlet, but that's the way Bruton Smith does his stuff. ISC, who has the NASCAR-owned tracks, or Martinsville, they have they're close enough by. They do it the old-fashioned way, kind of like Dover. You send in your request on a letterhead. Now, Richmond, I just email the PR director there and tell her what I need, and She usually gets back to me and pretty good to go. We'll have her on in a little bit, Amy Turner. But I've known her for years as far as dealing with Richmond. So I always had a guy go cover Richmond. His name is Gil Smith. Usually, if you see pictures from Richmond, they're his.
Oh, okay.
But he couldn't make it. Was it last April or the April before? He couldn't make it there because he had to go to President Bush's library dedication.
Hmm.
So I went and covered the race. Yeah, he used to be the assistant deputy secretary of the Department of Agriculture under the Bush administration.
Oh, he had an important job, huh?
Yeah. So, of course, you're not gonna turn down your old boss's request to a dedication of his library. That's the guy that picked you for that job.
Right.
So he covers a couple races. He does all of the Richmond races, and he did the Indy race in Baltimore back when we were running the streets of Baltimore. It's the same. Now I had that 1 year. And then, 2 years. And they quit going there. So he's going to be trying to form the...
Dover from you now?
Dover? At least... Well, it depends on how I go, really. I think I'd say anywhere between 7 to 10 hours, depending on which way I go and what kind of traffic I get. If I go the way I do when I go back to my old neighborhood, that's 8 hours there, another hour and a half to Dover. So you figure that's 10. If I came in the southern route, I'd have to actually travel it to do it, but... I'm like about the same distance. I'm about 5 hours from Richmond, and then about 3 hours. That's about 3 hours south of Dover. So I figured another 10 hours either way. That's a long ride. I'd have to get a hotel.
I was just gonna say that to you. That's a long drive.
I have to get a hotel, leave on a Thursday. Just to get in there on a Friday morning to get to stop at the trailer to get the credentials, and then go back to the hotel. Now it's not like they'll be able to get a room at the hotel at the track either, because they got that one booked up quick.
I would say that's probably booked a year in advance almost.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, the guy that used to write for the column for the Philadelphia Inquirer, he used to get a room there. But before Gary Camp became the PR director, the guy that was before him, John Dunlap, he's the one who got him the room there. The Philly Inquirer is the big paper in town. They were able to get the good stuff. I probably could have gotten it had I gotten in, but I never stayed down there. I always used to drive home every night because it was only, except race night, is an hour and a half. On Sunday, it was always a couple hours to 2.5 hours, depending on how I went. I finally figured a way to get it down to 2 hours, but you got to take the bathroom. So I used to, instead of get on Route 1, the highway, I used to get on 13 because everybody else would be going down Route 1.
Oh, yeah. I know, trying to get out of there.
One time a year I got lucky because the people in the media center, security guys, they said, oh, at the end of the race, just come back in right where, instead of going right out of the media parking lot to go out the 13 to get on the 1. Just make a left. Come back onto the track, go halfway around to where the start-finish line is and come out that way through where the fan zone was. And come back up 9 and take the back way out. I was able to get my pickup truck on to go halfway around Dover Speedway for one time.
That sounds like fun.
It was more fun at Bristol. Took the Mustang.
I bet.
They used to take people around. You bought your tickets early enough, you were invited to come on down and take laps around Bristol. And you'd go as many times as you wanted, too. You just go out and come back in line. They ran it all day. And then Ty Dillon, they had him there, you know, doing stuff, taking people around in a Chevy pickup. So we got a ride with him, and then the wife and I took turns driving the Mustang around the speedway. Well, that banking comes on you quick too. it does help you steer. And Ty Dillon goes, "How fast do you want me to go?" I says, "As fast as you think this truck will handle the track without hitting the wall." He said, "That works
good
for me."
Ride.
Yeah, it was pretty good. There was a couple times where he started squealing himself. He'd gun it down the straightaway and then come off it in the turn. So what I noticed is when you go into the turn, if you're on the gas, you're going to, and this is on street tires, you're going to push out towards the wall. I couldn't get the car above 80 before it started pushing towards the wall. But if I came in high and then let off and then come down into the turn and then turn, I'd be able to take it a little better. But they would pace about 75 miles an hour, so we used to hang back a bit and get a run going. That's one of those things I had to cross off the bucket list and hit the night race at Bristol. And you know what? As a fan, there's a lot of walking involved. And then you got to go up the ramp, which is up a hill. Cool or anything like I was, the arms get tired. And souvenirs, because where we parked, they had a shuttle take us to the track. So you couldn't just like a Dover, you just leave your seat and take it out to the parking lot, drop your stuff in your car and come back in.
Right.
As media, we were lucky. Sometimes you catch the golf cart, they haul you to the bridge. I miss those days.
I bet. Sounds like fun and good memories.
Covered every race there from 1999. Through 2011.
Wow.
When I started there, I got a credential. All I did was get, until I knew what to ask for, all I got was a credential to get into the track. Didn't know anything about pit road or parking or the media center. Then once I figured it out, I started applying for everything. Victory Lane, Turn 1 Media Center, because what they used to do is they used to bring the winner over to Turn 1 Media Center and second, third, and the top finishing rookie over to the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 2006, they changed everything around and everybody was brought down to the infield media center. But then NASCAR started handling press conferences, too. Before it was the PR director of the track to give the guys that were up in Turn 1 Media Center a chance to, because they were the deadline people. They're the ones that they sat there and basically had the story in for the next morning paper. So I used to figure out 100 laps to go. I'd leave the infield media center, go over to Turn 1 Media Center and get the winner. It wasn't like you had a TV crew that I could send over here and over there.
So you had to strategically plan your attack.
Yep. But one girl who helps me out, she wanted to be the photographer, so she'd go over Victory Lane around the track and get all the pictures and get all the interviews. Which I had more fun doing anyway.
Hmm.
Well, that's good. That sounds like fun. So where so when you get situated in the new house and the new job and everything, what will be your go-to races?
Well, definitely Martinsville. And I'm going to try for Bristol. Charlotte's a bit too far. Anywhere, as long as I can drive back at night, I'll go there. Bristol's 90 miles, but going down I-81 at 70, they give you 74 mile an hour speed limit 70, so that 90 miles gets chopped off real quick. And then Martinsville is, I got to time that one. That's back roads.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I went down, I did go to Martinsville one year because I got tickets to give away. I traded ads for tickets. I got 10 sets of Truck Series and Cup tickets to give away on the air.
Wow.
Yeah, and then in the year after, they didn't do that anymore. But that was great. I made it easy. Gave everybody a trivia question. Whoever called in with the answer got the tickets. I don't want any left.
You just had to know the answer and be quick.
That's it. Well, I mean, it was simple stuff, like who won the Daytona 500 for that particular year. The year Ward Burton won the Daytona 500. So I came down. I did go to Martinsville at the track. Oh, speaking of Martinsville, they're changing their famous brand of hot dogs to a company they've dealt with from the beginning of time. They're going to Valleydale, which is a subsidiary of Smithfield, who sponsored the 43 car. So that's now who's going to make their famous Martinsville hot dogs. They're kind of red. That's one thing they need to talk about is the Martinsville hot dogs. In Dover, I think they pretty much talk about the crab cakes that they used to get at the media center. Or back in the day when the track PR guy used to take people out to Sambo's. When you were there, did you get to go to Sambo's?
I did not, nope. First time
hearing that old thing. But yeah, everybody was like Saturday night or Friday night. I never went because I went home, but a bunch of people that the regulars would all go to Sambo's. The drivers would be, there would be drivers there as well.
Is that the one that, I mean, they have a huge party, outdoor stuff, girls everywhere. They might even have
I don't know anymore. I know somebody usually has a party somewhere down there. I forget who I was talking to, and I think you were at one of them. The year I met you, you were there. They said they saw you there.
Wait, where?
Your whole crew at one of the parties. You were with Nikki Kay? Was that? I think that was her last. She was getting ready to leave y'all.
Yeah. Nikki and I were there. I don't even remember where we went out to that time. We were there when we were out.
I didn't know where it was. I miss all that fun stuff. After hours fun stuff they all go to. There's a couple times they had a pool competition in the hotel. They needed a special credential where the drivers used to compete.
Oh, cool.
Well, they used to do fun stuff. I went to the dedication of the Monster Bridge, the seats that they have across the track.
Mm-hmm.
That is nothing like the crossover bridge. I don't know if you ever got a chance to go in there. It's premium seating, of course. But you know how you go over the bridge off turn two to leave the track? It vibrates and rattles and noisy.
Oh, yeah.
The Monster Bridge, it's quiet. You don't even feel a thing. You just watch the cars go by. You might hear a boom.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, they built that good. You figure it has to hold out on how many people. It's got its own bar. Whoever wants that place, spend some big bucks. Well, it looks like everybody's going to be in action next week with the NHRA being down in Charlotte for the four wides. Now, that's something. You go to Maple Grove and get the Nitro cars going, two cars going down the track. You're looking at each car about 10,000 horsepower. Imagine four of them. That's a lot of vibration. I never felt every organ inside of me vibrate. And that was two wide.
Yeah.
Imagine four wide.
I can't. That's just insane. But exciting.
Definitely exciting. I have to get a chance to hit that one. Because I know they raced there. They raced at Bristol. We call it, Thunder Valley Nationals. Maybe we'll get Erica on next week. Hopefully she can. She's never been having a rough year. She's down fifth in points, 67 back. So she that championship letdown, I think, whether designed or not, has creeped in. So we'll have to get her on. And next week, I don't know.
I missed her last time.
Next week, I don't know, we'll have to see if we're going to be on Monday night or not, because things might change with my new work schedule. If I get to swing the second shift, that's 3 to 11, so I might have to change the show time, which will kind of stink.
Well, you'll have to let me know.
I will. Either that or you host the show and I'll just call in.
No, I could never do it. This is your gig. I'm just following your lead.
The easy route. That's okay. Yeah, I'll let you know. I'll keep you posted. But we'll see what happens. If I can get the first shift, then we're still, or the third shift, which is 11 to 7, so if we get one of those two, we're still good. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
So, but anyway, we're going to Martinsville this weekend, and it's time to make those picks.
Oh, boy.
This race last year, Kurt Busch won the race. And then in the second race, Dale Jr. won the race. And Jimmy Johnson's always good at Martinsville. Logano's running pretty good there. He's been top five both ones. Newman, Gordon, the usual guys that run good at Martinsville run good there, so. Going by the first race in the you had Kurt Busch Johnson, Dale Jr., Joey Logano, Marcus Ambrose, you can cross him off. Kenseth was sixth, Harvick was seventh, Amarola eighth, Clint Bowyer, speaking of Clint, runs pretty decent there, ninth. And Paul Menard, who had a good run yesterday, he's another guy that you wonder about. He won the Brickyard the one year, and he has some good runs, but that's about it. I'm not picking Kurt again. He let me down. And in the second race, I'll give you the top 10 on that. There's Junior, Gordon, Newman, Stewart, second half of the year. Logano, Kenseth, Bowyer again, Hamlin, Allmendinger, and David Reagan. That was David Reagan get that lucky. But they're pretty much the same guys. They run good there. So it's not a good track for Keselowski, but then again, from what they were saying on the broadcast, neither was California. So he broke that jinx. So, Nadir, who's it going to be? Are you waiting for me?
I'm waiting for you.
You're waiting for me. All righty.
You pick.
Let me see. I'm going to go back to race number one and pick from that crew. Scratch the nine car. I'll go with Jimmy Johnson this time.
Jimmy?
Good old JJ.
I'm going to go with Harvick.
You're going to go with the happy one. Yeah, he's on a roll.
I don't know. I see him running really well this week, so I'm going with Harvick.
And Harvick it is. All righty. I guess that about does it for this week. So tune in.
All right.
This coming weekend. It's going to be early weekend, early racing. Let me get the schedule out real quick. The Truck Series will be in action on Saturday. First race back since since February 28th at Atlanta. That's always a good race. You ever watch the truck races?
I love the truck races.
Yeah, that's fun. See, the races are short enough and the guys are hungry enough to they make it interesting. So
yeah,
we got
the
STP 500 on Fox. It's a 1 o'clock start. So hopefully you have a night of hockey game.
Sunday I'm going to be watching the race. If I go at all this weekend, it's going to be Saturday night because they're up against the Penguins again. So it'll
again?
Be a good one. Again, they play them again on Saturday night.
Wow, that's a fight start breaking out. We get tired of looking at each other.
Yeah. Yep, so we'll see. But I'll be watching this week.
All righty. I will be too, so.
Well, I am off to finish a third grade school project.
Yes. That's the fun. Sounds like a load of fun.
Oh, ton. But I'm glad I got to take a break and chat with you a little bit and talk some racing.
Yeah, so if I text you during the race next week, I'll get a reply.
Yeah, I'll be watching this week. Don't you worry. So we can chat.
All right.
All right,
thanks
for having me on again.
It's always a pleasure. It's always fun to have somebody to talk to. And they said that I'll let you know what's going on and if we're on next week, we're on next week. If not, I'll have to figure something out.
Okay.
But
I
think we will be. All righty. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ben.
And this is Vince Bonfigli with Kristen Lee. That's our show for tonight. Good night and good racing. So she's going with Harvick, and I'm going with Jimmy Johnson. Bye now.